It's 5:30. I'm Nora Flaherty, and you're listening to MPBN Radio. Ahead on Main Things Considered this evening, Governor Paula Page is proposing big changes in how the state attorney general, treasurer, and secretary of state are selected. And an organization that tracks who may be distributing prescription drugs illegally is at risk of shutting down. Those stories in a moment. First, this news. This is MPBN News. I'm Nora Flaherty. The Maine House and Senate have voted to override Governor Paula Page's veto of a bill that would allow the Commissioner of Inland Fisheries and Wildlife to transfer a moose permit to a family member in cases determined to involve exceptional extenuating circumstances. The bill adds stepchildren and grandchildren to the already long list of family members. The Senate voted 34-0 to oppose the governor's veto, and the House followed with a 145-0 tally. Representative Dale Crafts is a Lisbon Republican.
This is when somebody's in dire straits that is more likely not to live that long, a brother or a sister, that you have a moose permit, that you can transfer it over. And so this is, like I said, this is not going to happen very often, but it gives the commissioner the power to look at the situation, to evaluate it. And so I urge you to override.
Maine's moose hunting permits are subject to a lottery. This year there will be 2,815 permits. There are typically more than 50,000 applications. Maine's highest court is upholding the conviction of a northern Maine man convicted of collecting more than $50,000 in workers' compensation benefits while operating an engine repair business. An Aroostook County jury convicted 63-year-old Stephen Tucker Sr. of theft in April of 2014. He injured his hand while working as a mechanic in 2006. Maine Employers Mutual Insurance Company later hired a private investigator to conduct surveillance of Tucker. Court records say videos show Tucker working full-time and performing various tasks. And state police say they've charged three people following an alleged burglary at a state trooper's home last week in West Gardner after one of the stolen items, a kayak, showed up for sale online. State police spokesman Steve McCausland says troopers found the kayak had been advertised for sale on Craigslist and Facebook and that it had been purchased for $140.
The unsuspecting buyer of the kayak we located because he had no idea the kayak was stolen, and he gave us the essential information as to who he bought it from.
McCausland says in addition to the kayak also taken were two mountain bikes, tools, a state police jacket, ammunition, and state police patches. He says police believe the money was going to be used to buy drugs. Most of the stolen items were recovered. In weather tonight, thunderstorms in northwestern Maine with skies clearing later at night and lows in the mid-40s in the mountains to mid-50s along the coast. And tomorrow, windy and partly sunny to partly cloudy, the most sun in the north. In the south. Highs in the mid-50s to mid-60s north to south. This is Maine Things Considered on MPBN Radio. I'm Nora Flaherty. Leading the show today, Governor Paula Page has made good on his pledge to propose fundamental changes in the way the state's constitutional officers, that's the Attorney General, the Treasurer, and the Secretary of State, are selected. The governor would expand his own power to select the first two officers and abolish the office of Secretary of State altogether. Mal Leary has details.
Earlier this year, Governor LePage told reporters he was so upset with the current Attorney General, Democrat Janet Mills, that he would propose changing the state constitution so that future governors could have a say about who gets the job. In legislation printed Tuesday, LePage proposes that the executive branch appoint the attorney general, with the legislature confirming the appointment like it does with members of the governor's cabinet. In a separate proposal, he wants the chief executive to also appoint the state treasurer with Senate confirmation. And in yet a third measure, he is proposing amending the Constitution to abolish the office of Secretary of State, replacing it with an elected lieutenant governor, who would replace the Senate president as next in the line of succession to the governorship. It's a real power grab, says House Majority Leader Jeff McCabe, a Democrat from Skowhegan.
This isn't the governor proposing to change these positions from, you know, legislative vote to popular vote. This is the governor taking on offices that are statewide offices and putting them under his appointment structure and making them part of his cabinet.
McCabe says creating an entirely new constitutional position, a lieutenant governor, is another major proposal for the legislature to consider with less than a month remaining before the planned adjournment of the legislative session.
For the governor to come up at this late stage of the game in the session while we're trying to finalize a budget and bring forward these major changes to the Maine Constitution is troubling at best.
But Senate President Mike Thibodeau, a Republican from Winterport, while not ready to endorse the proposals, says the governor has made it clear to him that these are important issues that he wants considered by lawmakers.
It would be a significant change as compared to the way things are currently run, but it's not inconsistent with the way many other states handle things. So, you know, it will get a proper vetting, and we'll see how it comes out of committee.
Thibodeau says the three proposals should not be partisan and should be considered on the basis of what is best for the state in the future. He expects the bills will be sent to the State and Local Government Committee for public hearings. Governor LePage is in Dallas attending a meeting of the Republican Governors Association and could not be reached for comment on his legislation. For MPBN News, I'm Mal Leary.
You're listening to Maine Things Considered on MPBN Radio. Still to come on the program, a program that pairs older and younger veterans. But first, a Maine-based nonprofit is hoping to expand a program that aims to provide older, ailing, and often lonely veterans with support and companionship from someone with a shared military background. The Vet to Vet program, as it's called, was started just about a year ago. And as Tom Porter reports, in many cases, the program is just as helpful to the volunteer.
At least twice a month, Jim Yankura pays a visit to his friend Raymond Goulet of Biddeford.
Hey, old Marine, how you doing?
Marine Corps veteran Goulet has a nickname for Yankura, who served in the Army.
And what do you usually call me?
Doggy.
That's right. He goes, who's that, my old doggy friend?
Yeah, and I still call him a doggy.
The nickname Doggy is meant affectionately, but is grounded in a military rivalry dating back more than 70 years. It was how Goulet and his fellow Marines referred to members of the Army. Goulet, who's 89, served in the South Pacific. Still only a teenager, he saw action at Guam and Iwo Jima.
Once a Marine, always a Marine. You hear that? It's still the same.
Goulet says he followed his older brother into the Marines and recalls a chance meeting with him as his platoon had just shipped into Guam and was preparing to go into combat for the first time.
All lined up, whatever, not tense. So I got this guy going around, is there a Goulet over here? You know. So the guys down below say, hey, Frenchie, they got someone looking for you.
That someone was Goulet's brother, returning from action and preparing to head back to the U.S. on leave. Goulet says it was an emotional encounter.
That's quite a feeling, you know. 9,000 miles from home and we see each other. But he was all shook up. He was worried about me.
I was a United States Army, believe it or not.
Jim Yankura is 46 and also a combat veteran. He visits Goulet a couple of times a month as part of the Vet to Vet volunteer program. Yankura says when he joined up in 1989, he never thought he'd have to go to war. He was planning on 2 years active duty to get money for college.
My recruiter said, you know, what's the chances of ever being in a war? So I said, yeah, you're right. So I joined, and 9 months later, as I was stationed in Germany, I went to Operation Desert Storm. So, you know, kind of a little bit of irony there.
Yankura admits that when he was paired up with Ray Goulet, he wondered how a veteran of Iwo Jima would look upon his Desert Storm experience. But the two men hit it off and sometimes chat for up to 4 hours at a time, and not just about the shared experience of combat.
We'll talk about the simple things of just gardening or sports or family.
This program has brought out a lot of stuff that I didn't know.
That's Ray Goulet's wife of 62 years, Jackie.
Sometimes when Jim and Ray are talking, I'll be working in the kitchen or I'll be sitting there, and I've learned an awful lot about Iwo Jima and all that went on there. And I would not have known if it wasn't for Jim.
He wouldn't have talked to you about it?
No.
There's a number of research projects out there that have shown that peer-to-peer matchings work.
Susan Gold is coordinator of the Vet-to-Vet project. She's with the Southern Maine Agency on Aging, which started the program 12 months ago. Since that time, some 30 trained volunteers have served 36 veterans, and the agency has applied for a grant to expand the program to other parts of the state.
Some of these relationships are going to be for life, and I think that in some ways, this experience has been life-changing for both the volunteer and the person they're visiting.
Back at Ray Goulet's house in Biddeford, Desert Storm vet Jim Yankura is getting ready to say goodbye until next time.
It's an honor to sit next to this guy and to listen to the stories that he tells me. And everybody that I talk to, I tell them, you know, this guy right here is my hero.
For MPBN News, I'm Tom Porter.
Finally today, an innovative nonprofit that's helped combat the diversion of prescription drugs in Maine is at risk of shutting down. Diversion Alert gives healthcare providers access to statewide drug arrest data to help them identify patients who may be involved in illegal activity. The program was set up thanks to a 2-year grant from the Maine Attorney General's office, which expires at the end of May. A bill before the legislature would allocate more money for the program, but its prospects are uncertain, so the nonprofit is asking community members and businesses to chip in and keep the program temporarily afloat. Jay Field reports.
Healthcare providers and pharmacists across the state widely praise Diversion Alert. One person who's had a lot of experience with the program is a nurse practitioner in Arista County named Ann Gahagan. I interviewed Gahagan 3 years ago as part of a series on the state's fight against the illegal diversion of legally prescribed pain pills. At the time, Gahagan told me about a patient she had been treating for chronic pain.
And I had given her narcotics every week or every month because she came in and we had this good relationship.
Gahagan, who took part in the pilot that gave rise to the statewide Diversion Alert program, was scanning the arrest data one day and saw her patient's name on the list.
I asked her to come in and to bring her pills. I said, "You didn't tell me that you have been arrested for abuse of your pain medication." And she didn't have anything to say. You know, and I called her probation officer, and he said, "Oh, yeah, she's been doing that for years." And I did not have a clue.
It's really unique to Maine. Like, there is no other statewide program like this in the country.
Claire DeRossier is Diversion Alert's executive director. She says the program has been a huge success since it launched with the help of a $240,000 2-year grant from the Maine Attorney General's office. In 2014, according to data compiled by DeRossier, 54% of healthcare providers who completed a program survey said they discovered a patient on a Diversion Alert monthly report. 59% said they used the program to intervene with patients abusing or selling prescriptions, and 84% reported that the program has increased their attentiveness to prescribing practices for all patients.
I don't want to see it just stop.
But DeRossier says Diversion Alert now faces that very real possibility, and sooner rather than later. The grant from the Attorney General's office expires at the end of May. A crowdfunding campaign for the program has raised just $150. Eastern Maine Health Services has pledged $5,000 to support the program, but only if DeRossier can raise an additional $25,000 by June 1st. There's also a bill before the legislature that would provide Diversion Alert with $95,000 a year over the next 3 years to continue operating.
If we don't get funding from the state through the bill that was put in, we won't have any money for me to continue doing this full time.
The bill came out of the Health and Human Services Committee on a divided report. It will still be debated in the House and Senate. Meantime, DeRossier is pursuing other grants and is appealing to community members and businesses to support Diversion Alert. But those appeals, even if successful, aren't likely to keep the program afloat on their own. For MPBN News, I'm Jay Field.
And at 13 minutes before 6 o'clock, it's time to check the weather forecast with meteorologist Paul Cousins.
A cold front is kicking up a segmented wall of wind and scattered thunderstorms at present over western New England. And these will trounce northwestern Maine shortly, weakening as they progress east. Powerful gusts and frequent lightning. By midnight, skies will clear south of the mountains in the county, partial clearing farther north. Mid-40s to mid-50s from the mountains to the down east coast. Tomorrow, windy and crisp. Sunshine limited over northern Maine as well as the mountains with an isolated shower. Partly cloudy central and down east Maine, mostly sunny Lewiston, Auburn south. 56 to 65 north to south. It will still be breezy Thursday, variable sunshine statewide, brightest along the entire coast. Cool Saturday, warmer Sunday and Monday, and remarkably dry. This is meteorologist Paul Cousins for the Maine Public Broadcasting Network.
And that's Maine Things Considered. Thanks today to A.J. Higgins, Barbara Caridi, and Ed Morin. Thanks also to Susan Sharon. I'm Nora Flaherty.